There are handouts on the back row. There's actually three handouts. Yeah, I know there's a lot going on today. The crowd is thinning out like the Nationals game last night, right? They said every inning the crowd got smaller and smaller. 18 innings. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Zulema. Good to see you. There are three handouts in the back, but one of them, it's a test to see if you recognize it. Because the one is the outline for today in the scripture we're looking at today. One is a one page, which was the homework for this week. And we're going to take a real quick look at that first. And then the third one is a copy of every reference in Scripture to the word we're talking about today. So I condensed that onto four pages, front and back, two pages. So sorry about all the paper, but I'm supporting the logging industry. And being a good steward, right? Because we'll recycle it if we don't use it. So why don't we start with prayer. Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to look into your word. Thank you for Dave's sermon today, for the word we've already heard, the worship we've already been able to partake in. And Lord, just as we look into scripture and look into the teaching of what you had for us today, just pray that you lead and direct our conversation, just that we would both say and hear what you'd have us to here today from your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So we've looked at, in this study of the Christian family, what Scripture says about the Christian family. We've looked at knowing the Father in the first week. We've looked at knowing our identity and purpose. Last week we looked at our roles and what that means, and our most important role of, what was our most important role? Image bearers. We were made in the image of God to be image bearers, but then also to be like God. We're going to look at that briefly today in what that means, and going through a couple of verses in the page I gave you for if you wanted to use them for devotions during the week or just extra study. But then also to be good stewards of what God has given us, and to have exercised dominion over the earth as God's image bearer. Today is a study that I debated. I was looking for a reason not to do this one this week, if I have to be honest, which I will be. It's an area where I struggle. I think we have a lot of struggle. But when I kept looking at it, whether I was going to jump into husbands and wives or parenting, I decided that, and I felt like God was leading in saying that, no, this is a foundational topic of submitting, because submitting is involved in every role we have in the family, both in the family of Christ and the body of Christ, but also in our physical families. And so I want to look at this topic of submitting and what that means, and what does the Scripture say about that. But first of all, if you take the one page document or one page paper that starts with, what role did God give his image bearers? And the answer was, God made people to glorify him by wisely managing, developing, and caring for his creation. I want to look at a couple of these verses very quickly. Colossians 1, 15 through 20. Colossians 1, 15 through 20. I don't have this printed on any of the papers, so you have to look it up. And Colossians 1, 15 to 20. Terry, do you have that? Could you read that? and everybody else follow along. The question to think about as we read through this is, what do these verses tell us about Christ and his, how did he exercise dominion over the world? That's the questions we're looking at as we read 15 through 20. Go ahead, Terry. First of all, what do these verses tell us about Jesus? How are we like him, I guess? Jesus is the, what are the words used? The image of God. Yeah, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And so, and then also, what does it say about Christ and his involvement in the world?
By him all things were created.
Right. By him and through him all things were created, and for him all things were created. And then you look at, I'm sorry, go ahead, yes.
Continuing involvement too, because yes, through him all things hold together.
Exactly. That's the next thing. Also, he holds things together. He didn't create the earth and then step back and see what happens. You know, he's continually involved in his creation, and by him and in him all things are held together. And then when you look at his involvement in our lives, what does it say about him on an individual, you know, personal? I guess his role. When you look at Christ's role in the church, in our lives, what does it say about that? Verse 18. Yeah, he's the head of the body, the church. And that's going to come into play when we start talking next week about husbands and wives, because we look to him as the head of the body when you look at the husband's role and the head of the family, and how does Christ exercise his role of being head of the body, head of the church? We are to be imitators of Christ in our role as husbands, as fathers. It's a pretty awesome responsibility, and should strike fear in our hearts of how we do that. What should we be? And that's why I want to lay this foundation, because every role we're talking about in the family, without the foundation of knowing the Father, knowing who we are and who we are in him, and who our role as Christians, but also then seeing Christ as we live out our lives in this. How did Christ exercise dominion over the world? We saw he created all things, and he's still involved in all things. He's the head of all things. But something I think we don't often think about is how he exercised dominion over the world. How else did he do it in these verses, Colossians 1, 15 through 20? Right. So all things are held together through him. In that sense, he has dominion and control over all things. What else? How did he fulfill his role of the head of the church, the head of the body?
Through miracles.
We're going to see that a little bit today.
Through the cross.
But ultimately, through the cross, through his sacrifice. And what an example of submitting, when you look at Christ as an example of submitting to his Father's will and to those and to the world which he had dominion over. Husbands, when we talk about your role as the head of the family, look at what Christ did in order to, and we'll look at why he did it, to make his bride holy and acceptable and righteous. That is our role when we look at our role. All right, Hebrews 1, 1 to 4. There's more in this, but I wanted to, this was homework, so you already know all this. Hebrews 1, 1 through 4. Kendall, do you have that? Can you read it out clearly?
Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs.
So when you look at Christ's power, we also want to look at the words I wanted to focus on this is because we're going to look at, you know, being imitators of Christ. It says in verse 3, he is the radiance of God the Father's glory and the exact representation of God's nature. That's who we are to be imitators of, just as Christ was the exact representation of God the Father. And then there's several verses in Mark. But Mark 13, 24 to 27. Mark 13. And then we'll get into the lesson. So we have Mark 13, 24 through 27. Annie, do you mind reading that? So in this example of Christ exercising dominion over the world and creation when he returns, what's going to happen? How will he exercise that dominion when he returns? What's going to happen?
Creation will break apart.
Yeah, it definitely changes. Creation will change. Things will be different than they are now. It'll be, sure, there's shooting stars and those types of things now. But in this sense, that period of time, when Christ returns, creation changes as described here. And what does he do for us in exercising dominion on our behalf? He'll gather the elect from the four winds, from the farthest end of the earth, the farthest end of heaven. You know, he will take us with him to heaven. And then the next passage in Mark that are listed on that page, Mark chapter 4 is when he calmed the storm when he was asleep on the ship and they came to him. He calmed the sea and the storm. Mark 6, he healed the sick and raised the dead. Mark 11, he drove out those who were interfering with worship, who were interfering with his ministry and with the use of the temple, improper use of the temple. In Mark 16, he conquered death. Now, we're to be imitators of Christ. Can we be imitators of Christ in the way he exercised dominion over these things? I mean, there's some things that we cannot do. We can't raise the dead, heal sick. We, through prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit, there's still healing going on. But we don't have the power that Christ had in that sense and having dominion, but we are to have dominion in the ways that we are able to do through the power of Spirit over every aspect of our lives, our relationship to others. As Dave was preaching today, that may be a power that we exercise simply by prayer or instruction. But the Spirit's power takes over. So anyway, that's what I wanted you to look at for follow-up from last week's lesson, and we hadn't quite finished it last week, which is why I went back to it. For next week, I'll mention this again, or I'll try to remember to mention it again. At the end, we're going to start reading Ephesians. during the week, if you would read with me, maybe just chapters 1 to 3. And when I say read, I'd want you to meditate on it and prayerfully read it. May not rush through it. Just take a few verses a day to read through, just a few minutes to meditate and pray over those passages as we look at, we'll be looking at several things in Ephesians. Anyway, I'll mention that again. So, what I want to look at, Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 22. And the most of it is to put this in context. But what I'd like to do is just read through these verses and stop as we go on a couple points, but then focus on this word submit, and what does that mean when we talk about submitting? In what areas are we to submit? To whom are we to submit? And what does that look like? What does that mean to submit? So we look at Ephesians 5, 1 through 22, and it's in this outline. If you want to follow along in your Bibles or in the outline, it's the New American Standard Bible that this is taken from, these passages on the paper. So it says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, 'Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even to the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord." I was going to stop at 21, but I went to 22 because it's the same word, the same reference, and I want to tie them to those two together before we move on and talk about husbands and wives. So what is this idea of being subject to one another? I looked, the other pages I gave you, the front and back, that have multiple passages are all the references to the word submit in Scripture, and there's nine of them, and then all the ones that use the phrase subject to, which when you look at the word submit, a lot of times it's interpreted subject to as opposed to submit, and there's 38 times there. Several of them in the Old Testament are not relevant to what we're talking about, but I put them in here anyway, so you can at least kind of go through them. But what's the what is this idea of submitting to one another? Can you think of examples in Scripture where it talks about submitting? Yes. Accountable. So submitting by being accountable to one another, that is right in the sense of being willing to, I mean, explain what you mean by that. I don't want to interpret. Right. Yeah, yep, and that's a good example. That is the accountability to each other, the accountability to be submitting to each other, to be accountable to God, submitting to God, but having others help us be accountable in that fashion. To whom are we to be subject to or submit to? I mean, you can look in the scriptures, one another. Let me say this. Are there other, when you think of in teaching of Scripture, and you can look at the ones I've given you, what are other examples where Scripture says submit to or be subject to? Authority? It's probably one of our hardest to do, right? How do you like submitting to the current political authorities? Not that we'll talk about politics here. Don't want to lose our tech. That's right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. That's right. In this passage, that's exactly right. He's submitting to each other in the body, those who are Christians. And as you know, we'll look at what was Dave preaching about today. What was the submitting to example in Dave's sermon today on how we can submit to each other in love?
I think the biggest and maybe the hardest example is in the husband and wife situation.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that may be because when you look at what we talked about last week, Adam and Eve were created. Eve was created as, remember what the word was? It was in the genealogy, by the way, to Azer, a helper. We heard the word, you know, Eliezer, one of the names in the genealogy of Christ that we read in the Matthew passage today, means God is my helper. The same word Azer was the word used as Eve was to be, woman was helper to man, to be his helper, in that sense, his azer, which was a military term, you know, to fight for, to fight with, to, you know, all those types of things. So we see that, and then we see in Ephesians, wives are to submit to, but that, and because also one of the curses, one of the things God said, the wife will seek after her husband. You know, is this idea of seek after the authority or want to be above in the family, her husband, that sense of seeking after. But that's right. That's going to be but let's back up a second and say, all right, what about our obligation to submit generally? Let's look at, when you look at, if Romans 13, yes. Oh, Dave, what was the example in Dave's? Well, yes, prayer. Praying for. Yeah, bearing each other's burdens. All those things, that's right, as we submit to one another and it's, you know, those who are weaker, those who are strong, whoever it is that we're submitting to each other, we're praying for each other, we're knowing them, we're knowing their needs. How can we serve them if we don't know them and know their needs? And then how can we bear their burdens if we are not aware of them, if we're not having that relationship with them? Submitting to one another in one area is to bear each other's burdens. You know, to submit yourself to say, I'm going to take that on with you to help you walk through this trouble you're going through. That is an example of submitting to or being subject to, because you're empathizing and being able to understand them, which in many ways helps us to love them more. Yes, Butch.
Sir, I think it's interesting that that the Scripture does not say wives obey your husbands. The Scriptures say children obey your parents. The Scriptures say slaves obey your masters. But this submission, this relationship between a husband and a wife, and later, of course, in verse 25, it says husbands give up yourselves to your wives.
Right. Right. And so and that's what I'm trying to get to as we go through this. The areas in which we're to submit and to whom we're to submit, is it always in a cowering obedience with, you know, a domineering figure where you have no will or say in the matter? Or is it something different? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. That is our humility, making ourselves humble before each other is another way of submitting to one another, an example of submission. Yes?
Obedience does play a part in it.
Yes.
I mean, that's how we are to submit to God. That's how we show our submission, is by obedience.
Correct.
And wives, I mean, I agree, it's not a military do as I command, but it is a, as my mom always says, somebody has to make the final decision when you
right.
disagree.
Right. Well, and that's right, but let's take it into the any type of authority figure. If we say, you know, because Romans 13 verse 1, it says every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Does that mean we're never to have a say or involved in the decision of those with authorities over us? It says younger men are to be subject to their elders in the church. I was looking for it where it says everyone needs to be subject to the elders in the church, but it says younger men. So, sorry. Anyway, but the part of that is, yeah, I mean, those who have authority, those who God has placed in authority, you know, that doesn't mean you aren't to question or be involved in the decision or provide your input. Just like wives, that is, you know, in this role of azer, helper, it doesn't mean you sit quietly by and say, well, it's on you, brother. Or, you know, it's this idea of we are to be involved. We can't sit still and say, you know, we're frustrated with the authorities over us and we say nothing, we don't go, we don't pray for them. You know, we can't do that. We're to pray for them, we're to be involved, we're to be active in that process. But we need to live under that authority when a decision has been made. And that is where we often cringe and kick against and grumble and complain. That is where we are missing the point of what Scripture is telling us. And this idea of submitting to doesn't mean you're not involved, you don't have a say, but at some point, whatever it is that's been decided, it doesn't mean you can't, you know, discuss for change either, but it means that's what you're living under. That's what you're submitting to. I just want to back up for a second on the governmental authority, but it applies across the board. It's this idea of submission and examples of it. I want to look at, and I don't want to cut off conversation on that, but because it'll get much more interesting when we talk more about husbands and wives, I think. But I think it's important to understand that that's not the only example of submission or submitting or being subject to in Scripture. There's many more, and one of them is submitting to one another in the Lord. And so one of the examples of how to be subject to, Romans 8 verses 1 through 8, that's the next passage in the outline. Can somebody read that? Romans 8 verses 1 through 8. Jay, could I get you to read that loudly?
Flesh, and as an offering for sin, he would then sin in the flesh, so
So why do I think this is a perfect example of how to be subject to something? I mean, what are we talking about in this context? What are we to be subject to in this context, in these passages? Those words aren't used. But what are we to be subject to? The Spirit. So yeah, that is, we can't understand the law without the Spirit. So when you look at this, verse 2, well, yeah, I mean, we are to fulfill the law of God through the Spirit, but we are to have the mind in order to, how do we accomplish that? That's what I'm looking at. What are we subject to? In verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. So you have the law that condemns, but also, you know, how do we fulfill the law? For what the law could not do, in verse 3, weak as it was through the flesh, because we cannot fulfill the law in our flesh, God did, in sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. That is not the focus of what I'm asking about. What I'm asking about is that, and you're right, verse 4, so the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So the requirement of the law was death. Christ fulfilled that requirement for us and gave us his righteousness. But then we are to set, we are to be subject to what? Or to, we are to be imitators of Christ. I'm not asking this clearly. You can tell, right? For those who are according to the flesh, do what? Verse 5. Here's the contrast I want you to look at. Those who are according to the flesh, who follow the flesh, are doing what? Set their minds on the flesh. And those who are not, those who are according to the Spirit, walking according to the Spirit, what do? Set their mind on the Spirit. And this is what I'm trying to get at, this example of being subject to the Spirit. That is, we are to put ourselves in subjection to the Spirit so we can walk in the Spirit. How do we do that? We die every day to sin. Instead of focusing on the things that satisfy our flesh, we're supposed to focus on those things that help, we walk in the Spirit. You know, that's in my idea of what your mind is set upon is what you will be subject to. Sorry, I struggled with that, how to ask that question. But it's an example of how to be subject to something. Set your mind upon it. Desire to please the Spirit. Desire to not grieve the Spirit. Desire to those things that are the fruit of the Spirit, those things that are, in Ephesians 5 that we read, you know, no coarse communication, no coarse jesting, and even talking about those things that are done by them in private. We're not to focus on that. We're to focus on those things that will draw us to the Spirit, and that the Spirit will have more influence over us. You know, singing of, oh, thanks. I even have a water bottle right in front of me. Thank you. I wasn't even paying attention. But those things that we're to do, that is speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs as accountability that we talked about to each other, submitting to one another by encouraging each other when we see them struggle, and singing and making melody with our own heart to the Lord, always giving thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. I wanted to just look at this because it's not just that final phrase that is the command. It's all these other things that are telling us how to do that. That is, first of all, when you look at Romans 8, you know, our mind is to be set on the things of the Spirit in order to be subject to the Spirit. And then we're being subject to each other, submitting to one another, you know, this idea of how do we do that? Do we have coarse jesting with each other? Do we, you know, tell dirty jokes and laugh about them? Do we joke about what's going on in the world? Do we get drunk with wine? Do we, or do we focus on what, everything that is pure, everything is right, everything is good, as opposed to focusing on those things that will set our mind on the flesh. So that's why I thought it was a perfect example of being subject to, something to be subject to. How to do it is to set your mind on it. If you want to be subject to one another, set your mind upon each other and what their needs are, what their burdens are, what their desires are of serving Christ, and help them fulfill that. In this whole idea of what Dave was talking about today, the purpose of that, so we'll walk in the unity and encouragement of one another. So I also put in here Matthew Henry's commentary of these verses at the very end, the last two paragraphs on this page. For Ephesians 5, 21 to 23, and I'll just read through it briefly. There's a mutual submission that Christians owe one to another, condescending to bear one another's burdens, not advancing themselves above others, nor domineering over one another and giving laws to one another. Paul was an example of this truly Christian temper, for he became all things to all men. We must be of a yielding and a submissive spirit and ready to all the duties of the respective places and stations that God has allotted to us in the world, in the fear of God, that is, so far as is consistent with the fear of God, for his sake, out of a conscience towards him, that we may give proof that we truly fear him. Where there's mutual condescension and submission, the duties of all relations will be better performed. If we all treated each other this way, of being subject to one another, and caring for each other, bearing each other's burdens, and then submitting to one another in that fashion, the gospel of Christ would go out, the love for one another would be seen in the world, and as he says here, what we would be doing will be better performed. And then Ephesians 5:22, to the end, he speaks of the duties of husbands and wives, and he speaks of these in a Christian manner, setting the church as an example of the wife's subjection and Christ as an example of the love of husbands, which we'll start talking about next week. So, I'll leave this as the extra credit reading. All the passages that you can look at where it talks about being subject to or submitting to. And you can look through that because there are many other examples of us being subject to and what that means and who we are to be subject to. In one passage, it's, you know, we're to be subject to those teachers who are teaching the true word and be aware of those teaching heresy and not make sure we're not being subject to them. So there is this idea of, at least in the church, making sure the teaching is not heresy, but also, you know, the teaching is from Christ, because there are many examples that God gave in the New Testament of testing those who are teaching and holding them accountable. And so in that sense, that is not in conflict with being subject to those in authority over you, to make sure the teaching is correct. Any questions? As you can tell, I've struggled with this one. But again, I think it was foundational to move forward on now relationships and specific roles in the family. Okay. Ken, Will, would you close us in prayer?
Yes.
Would you mind?